y'all for that song. That was wonderful. We're going to get back into the book of James tonight. And honestly, this is a different type of message. I shouldn't say it's a different type of message, but it's. I was thinking about it. Pastor was talking about, even there at the end of the testimonies, he was mentioning about, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. And so I want to say this. I believe we're a part of a loving church. I really believe that. And so I want to start out by saying that. So I want to say this before I preach this message. This could be for somebody a message of correction, but for some it may just be more of a preventative type of message, something that we just need to watch out for. And so I want to talk to you tonight out of the book of James. We're picking back up in James chapter number 4 and verse number 11. And this is the title of my message tonight. I went out and back a couple times about what to title my message, but I want to title it this: Who Do You Think You Are? Who do you think you are? Now, before you look at me and say, well, who do you think you are? I almost titled this message, Who Do I Think I Am? And it may actually be a better title. Who do I think I am? I thought about this. I actually had originally, last week, I wrote down on a notepad when I was meditating on this passage of Scripture, I wrote down, who do we think we are? But I'll tell you when that changed. Yesterday, I was kind of looking over my message and looking over some things, and I noticed something that I had not noticed before, and I thought, it's not who do we think we are, and it may not even be who do you think you are, but it's definitely who do I think I am, and for you, it would be who do you think you are. And I'll tell you why I say that. I want you to look at something that I saw in verse number 12. Look at what James says here in verse number 12. He says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. And here's the phrase. He said, who art thou? James said, who art thou to judge us another? Basically, James said, who do you think you are? That's really what he was saying. And the reason I said it this way is, who do I think I am, is because I noticed something. You say, what did you notice? Well, I noticed that in James chapter number 3, and I kind of the belief that James is kind of finishing out this section that he started in James chapter 3 on the tongue, and he's been talking about our tongues and the use of our tongues, and he kind of ventured off into another topic, and I think he's kind of coming back, and he's closing out that thought and heading into another thought in verse number 13. And I believe this section here really connects those thoughts, and I'll show you why here in a moment. But if you go back to James chapter number 3, I want you to see something that James says. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that, look at this, we, you see that? James said, we shall receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2, he said, in many things we offend all. Verse 3, he said, behold, we, right? So James is speaking in the plural in James chapter number 3. He says, we. We, right? I'm not speaking French here. I'm speaking James. We, right? Look at verse number 14. It says this. It says, James says this in verse number 14. He says, but if ye. Now, for those of you that don't know this, and I believe most of you do, when you see ye in the Bible, this is one of the things I love, many, many things, but one of the things that I love about the King James Bible is the ye and thee. If you don't know what the ye and thee mean, you need to learn that, because it helps when you're studying your Bible. Ye is plural. Thee is personal, right? So ye is a plural form, and thee, you, and I always, the one I always get confused, and I'm like, which one is it now? Is it ye or thee? And I'll tell you what I always go to. I always go to where Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, Peter, I've prayed for, he said that Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, right? Isn't that what it says? He's talking about all of you, the disciples. But then he says, but I've prayed for thee. And he says, when thou art converted, he's talking to Peter. He's saying, Peter, when you get converted, he said, I want you to strengthen the brethren. And so the thee is personal. The ye is plural. And so in James chapter number 4, well, James chapter number 3, he said, we, right? Look at verse number 14. He said, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, right? And he's talking about them plurally. Look at chapter 4. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He's talking about them as a group. Come they not hence of your lust that warred your members? Look at verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask. You see what I'm saying? Ye, you. Your, it's plural. James is talking to everybody. And I just noticed, it was yesterday afternoon, I was looking over this, and I noticed for the first time in verse number 11, it says this. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He's talking to the body. He's still talking to Christians, brethren. He's talking to those believers. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. And here it is, but if thou. Now, as far as I can tell, and I didn't like do a great in-depth study here, but I read through these, and this is one of the first times, if not the first time, since chapter number 3, where James gets personal, singular. He says, but if thou, in verse number 11, judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. And here it is. Who art thou? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? I think that's a great question that James is asking these people that we need to ask ourselves. And I'm just going to be as transparent and honest with you as I can be tonight. These have been some of the most searching and sobering words that I've come across in the book of James. Honestly, I almost passed over these two verses of Scripture. If you'll start studying the book of James and you'll read commentaries, what you're going to find is a lot of commentators kind of just skip over these verses. They may say a couple things, but they won't go into great detail. They kind of just skim over top of them. If you were to go and listen to some sermon series on the book of James, you'll find that some preachers, when they're preaching through the book of James, will kind of just skim over these verses right here. And I don't think it's intentional. I don't think it's because they're trying to ignore it. I think some of it is because it's kind of a transition verse, and you're kind of trying to find where it belongs in this section of Scripture. Some people put it in with chapter 4, where he's talking about humbling yourselves and pride, and we're going to see that here in a minute. I think there's a connection there. And then some people try to put it into the next section that James is getting ready to go into when he begins to warn these people about really thinking they know better than God. Look at verse number 13. We'll look at that next week. But go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we're going to such a city, right? You know not what's on your life. I may continue this thought next week. Who do I think I am? Because that's really what James is saying to him. He's saying, who do you think you are? And so with that thought in mind tonight, I want to preach on that subject. Who do I think I am? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, first I mean this: to be demeaning someone. Who do I think I am? You know, this verse right here in verse number 11, it says, speak not evil one of another. Now, some of you are going to laugh at me right here. Well, I hope you don't. I'm going to try to say a word. I should have listened to it before I came in. You know, you think you got it down, and then you just, I'm almost doubting myself already. Go for it, right? Speak not evil one of another is a Greek word. Somebody said, Katalaleo. Katalaleo. It's interesting. It's interesting that we know what that word is, because then we'll understand what James is trying to say. He says, speak not evil one of another. This word in the Greek, katalaleo, I better quit saying that. It means literally, if you look it up, it literally means to slander. It means, it carries the wording of to defame or to tear down. The word, and I don't want to get into the Greek, but it was very interesting as I was studying this. There's a Greek word, it says Legos. I thought it may have something to do with where we got the word Legos, right? That we build. The word Legos in the Greek is the building of something. And it's the word where we get the word logos. I think I'm saying that right, right? Logos. And it has to do with saying something that means something. It's actually transferred over into our language with logic. Right? And it's psychology, and there's different ologies that come from this word of Legos in the Greek. And I know some of you looking like me like, come on, Brother Dave, don't even try to act like you're that smart. I'm not, okay? This is borrowed, okay? But it's good. It's interesting. This word Legos, it means to build up. This word Leo, they're judging me. I know they are. I can feel the judgment right now. Don't you be judging your brother and speaking evil of your brother, right? Leleo, right? This word literally means to babble. It means to say something without meaning. It means to just speak senselessly, right? Like I just did, right? It's the opposite of logic. Saying something that's logical, it's saying something that's illogical, right? It's the sound that an animal would make. See, we speak logos. When we talk, we're supposed to talk with some meaning. We're supposed to say something that means something. But when an animal speaks, it just moves, right? It just barks. It just makes a sound that really doesn't mean anything. And you think it does. You think he's talking to you. He's not, okay? She's not. I'm sorry. I'm not judging you. Don't judge me, all right? I'm just telling you, right? He's just making a sound, okay? But listen, the word laleo, that's what it means. And then the word kata, it means to, I wrote it down here. The word kata means to speak down about. So it means to speak down about or to tear down just a way of babbling, in a nonsensical manner. Are you with me? That's our word. That's what evil speaking is. It means to tear someone down with words that are basically made up. Slander. You understand? That's our word here. It's translated in other places in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 2. That's only some of these verses I wrote down, but this is close, so I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at verse number 12. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas, look at it, they speak against you as evil doers. So they're speaking evil against you. Now you understand what they're doing. They're making stuff up about these Christians. They're trying to tear them down. That's our word. That's evil speakings. That's what James is talking about when he says, speak not evil of your brethren. Don't try to tear them down. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 16. It says this, it says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So he says, you're living a good life in Christ, but they're speaking evil of you to try to make you look bad. They're defaming you. They're demeaning you. They're slandering you. And that's what James is talking about here in verse number 11 when he says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. You can go back to the book of James. James is saying, don't be talking about each other in a way that's going to demean one another, that's going to tear one another down. You know, the Bible is full of examples of this. It literally goes right along with what I believe James was just saying. Look at verse 10 of James chapter 4. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And then he goes on to say, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Don't tear somebody down. Why do people tear someone down? We know, to try to build themselves up. Most of the time, when somebody is trying to tear someone else down, it's because they're trying to build themselves up. And if we're honest, we've all been guilty of it. We try to point out other people's faults and flaws, and we try to tear them down, and we try to demean them, we try to defame them, we try to slander them because it makes us look better. And James says, don't do that. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. He'll exalt you. He'll lift you up. You don't have to tear other people down to be lifted up. It's literally the exact opposite. James is saying, don't do that. You know, it's all throughout the Bible. You know, that's what the Pharisees were constantly doing. You read through the New Testament, you know you're going to find the Pharisees are constantly doing slandering people. That woman in adultery, that woman in Simon's house, Simon, I mean, over and over, they're just slandering people. Jesus, they called him a gluttonous, a man of gluttonousy and of gluttony and a wine bibber. We know Jesus wasn't those things. What were they doing? They were slandering him. They were trying to destroy him. They were trying to demean him. They were trying to bring him down. And they spent all their time trying to demean the Lord Jesus Christ. They were slanderers. They are what James is talking about here. It's not only that. How about the devil himself in Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10? You know what the Bible says about the devil? It says he's the accuser of the brethren. It says him that which accused them before our God day and night. You know what he's doing? He's constantly slandering us. That's what he's doing. The word devil literally means, if you look up the word devil in the Greek, it's diablos. And you know what it means? It means to slander. That's literally what his name means. Slanderer. The devil, he's a slanderer. He tries to accuse the brethren. He tries to tear us down. You know what the devil is doing right now? The Bible says that the devil is before the throne of God trying to accuse us, trying to slander us, trying to demean us. You remember Job when the devil went to God? He said, "Have thou considered thy servant Job?" He'll curse you. He began to slander Job. That's what he does. He's a slanderer. The devil, diablos, it means slanderer. It goes back to James chapter number 3. Look at James chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. It says, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual." Look at it. Devilish. You know what that is? That's diablos. Slanderous. This wisdom that is from this, it's slanderous wisdom. It's devilish wisdom. It's the wisdom that tries to tear down, not the wisdom that tries to build up. And James is saying, who do you think you are? Who do I think I am to tear down somebody else, to try to demean and try to defame and try to slander someone else, much less my brother? That's what James is saying here. Now y'all looking at me, I think this is a great church. And I'm not just saying that. But I'll tell you this, as I said already, if this isn't a message to correct someone, let it be a message to be a preventative message to remind someone, because I know I need this reminder constantly. James has already told us about our tongues. It's an unruly evil. It's a deadly poison. It's something that no man can tame. It's a fire that sets the world on fire, and it destroys things, and it spreads. And so he's coming back, and he's reminding us again, you better be careful about that tongue. Think about all the churches that have been destroyed by what I'm talking about right now. Slander. Babel. You know, it's connected a lot of times. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But that word, that katalaleo, is connected to whisperers. I'll show you here in a moment. It's whisperers. Backbiters. Those words are closely connected. It's people that are. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It's people that are talking and getting together and trying to tear down and to destroy. And can I tell you how many churches have been destroyed by what I'm talking about? This evil speaking, the slanderous talk. How many marriages have been destroyed? How many friendships have been just completely destroyed because of slander, because someone got in someone else's ear and began to la-la-leo, right? Began to just talk pointlessly about stuff that was not to build up. It was stuff that was there to tear down. We got to guard against it. James says, don't do it. John chapter number 8, Jesus said this about the devil. He said, I told them Pharisees, he said, you're of your father, the devil, that slanderer, right? In the lust of your father you will do. He said, he's a murderer from the beginning. He said, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Very beginning, you know what the devil was doing? Slandering. Slandering. All the way in the beginning, that's what the devil was doing. He went to Eve and he told Eve, hath God said? God just knows that the day you eat of that tree, you're going to know good and evil. You're going to be a God. God's holding out on you, Eve. God just doesn't want you to be like him. Slandering, demeaning, trying to bring God down. Why was the devil trying to bring God down? Because he was trying to bring himself up. I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt myself. He was jealous and envious of God. And so what he done in the very beginning in the garden is he went to Eve and he began to slander and he began to demean and he began to try to defame God. And if we're not careful, we'll do it. Who do we think we are? The next time I get ready to go and try to tear down my brother and try to defame my brother and try to demean my brother, I hope God will remind me, who do you think you are? I think there's two things we need to understand about this. And number one, it's this, the method. One man said about this verse right here, about this word really that I was just trying to say to you. One man said this about it. He said, this is the sin of those who meet in corners. I'm quoting him here. He said, it's the sin of those who meet in corners and gather in groups and pass on confidential information which destroys the good name of those who are not there to defend themselves. That's our word, katalaleo, evil speaking. It's translated in Romans 1:30. You go home and do the research yourself. Romans 1:30, same Greek word. It's translated as backbiters. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Apostle Paul wrote to that church at Corinth. He said, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, and here it is, backbitings, evil speakings. Slandering. Then he goes on and says whisperings. It's very closely connected to something that's done behind closed doors. It's something that's done behind someone's back. We got to be careful about talking about people behind their back. I'm telling you, I'm just being open and transparent with you as I can be. This right here, I already told you, as I've studied through the book of James, has been one of the most sobering and one of the most convicting passages of Scripture that I've come across, because God has reminded me over and over and over as I've studied this, who do you think you are? You say, Brother David, you just running around tearing everybody down? No, I'm not trying to, but if I'd be a liar if I said I haven't ever done it. Demeaning other people. I don't know if it just makes us feel good about ourselves. It's that pride that James just got done talking to them about. He said to humble yourselves, right? Look back in chapter number 4. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee to you, from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. He goes on in verse number 10. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Verse 6, I skipped that one. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. God's not for that stuff. God's not for slander. God's not for demeaning and defaming other people. The world is going to do it. Jesus actually said, I didn't write down the verse, but I know there's a verse. Jesus said that offenses shall come, right? He said, but woe unto him who the offense comes from. It's in Matthew. And he's talking about them babes. And I think he might even be talking about babes in Christ. Some people think he's talking about little babes, and maybe he is. But I think you could even read into it and say he's talking about babes in Christ. And he's saying, hey, you be careful about what you say to those babes, how you offend those babes. Because he said offenses are going to come. The world is going to defame us. The world is going to slander us. The world is going to run us down. He says, but you be careful about you being a part of it. In Galatians, Paul said, hey, don't bite and devour one another. In Colossians, it said, put away evil speakings. Right in Ephesians chapter number 4, in verse number 31, it says, put away all wrath. And I'm not exactly sure what it says, but it talks about, you know, evil communications and corrupt communications out of your mouth, and malice and wrath and anger, and be kind, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Over and over through the Bible, it says, hey, be careful about tearing down other Christians. Demeaning and defaming and trying to slander those that are brethren. He says, he talks about the method. It's done behind people's back. Leviticus, some people think that James is talking about Leviticus chapter number 19 in this whole section. Leviticus 19, 16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. That's what the Levitical law said. Don't run around just telling a tale. I could have went to Proverbs. I don't have time to do it tonight. You know the verses. If you read through the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is full of whispering and backbiting. I will do this. I didn't write it down, but I know it's there. Go to Proverbs 6 real quick. Hold your place here and go to Proverbs 6. I think this is interesting. I've been reading the book of Proverbs. A lot of you read the Proverbs, but I've been reading the Proverbs pretty regularly here recently. And every time I read the book of Proverbs, it convicts me about a lot of things, but in particular about the tongue. Look at Proverbs chapter number 6 real quick. I hope it's Proverbs 6. Look at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Are you with me? Let's take note of that. It's important to understand. The book of Proverbs, the Bible, is getting ready to tell us six things God hates. I want you to see what they are. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, James mentioned that. Look at this, a lying tongue, slanderous tongue. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. I'm going to go even beyond. I'm going to be reading a little bit into it here. But I told you that la-la-leo, right? I'm going to quit saying that. I'm just doing that for y'all's entertainment, right? That word is to basically babble about things that are not true, to make stuff up, right? Wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run into mischief. Look at this. A false witness that speaketh lies. I think a slanderer could fall under that. He that soweth discord among the brethren. I think a slanderer could fall under that category, right? And so you see what I'm trying to say? God hates this thing of slander. God hates this thing of backbiting. God hates this thing of whispering. God hates this thing of demeaning one another. God hates it. And the Bible's full of it. It's all throughout the Word of God. You can go back to the book of James. And so we see, number one, about the demeaning, the method of it. But I think this is important to understand. It's not just about the method. I think it's about the motive. It's about the motive. Because if we're not careful, and I don't have time to build this whole truth here, and so I hope you don't try to read more into what I'm trying to say. There are times where you have to talk about people. You do understand that, right? There are times where you have to talk about people. If you're going to help someone, if you're going to minister to someone, if you live under the same roof as someone, there are times where you're going to have to talk about other people. I think what James is getting at here is what's real important in this evil speaking is our motive. Why we're talking about them. The way we're talking about them behind their back. But not only the way, but the why. Why are we talking about them? The motive. Is it to tear someone down so that we can build ourselves up? I said it already. Is that not what the serpent did? Is that not what the Pharisees did? I think that's what James is trying to imply that these people are doing. Look at verse number 11 of James 4. He says, speak not evil one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judge the law. If thou judge the law, listen to it, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Oh, now all of a sudden you've become the judge. When I think of a judge, I don't know about you, but when I think of a judge, I think of someone that's in a higher place. You walk into a courtroom, can I tell you the highest seat in the courtroom? The judge. The highest authority in the courtroom is the judge. That's why we say, Your Honor. Right? And so when we are trying to tear someone else down, we're trying to demean someone, what's important is the method, how we do it. Are we going around sneaking behind their back, trying to get a gathering and whisper to this crowd and get this group up against this group and get this group against this person? How do we go about it and why do we go about it? Is it so that we can tear others down and build ourselves up and exalt ourselves? This is talking about being slanderous in our speech, and the motive is so important. I'm about to move on and finish my message, but as I'm even preaching, I'm thinking about years and years of youth ministry and how that I have seen young ladies in particular, but even young men do it, but young ladies in particular go around and try to get a little group together and try to tear down this young lady so that they can build themselves up. You know what I'm talking about? It even happens among adults. Cliques, groups in a church where people are trying to, you know, lobbyists like up in D.C., right? They're lobbying for their position. They're lobbying for what they want. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing in church. We'll go around and we'll get our little crowd and we'll whisper and we'll slander and we'll talk about and we'll run down and we'll demean, and it's all because we want to be built up. It's all because we want our way. It's all because we're insecure, and so we're trying to tear someone else down to build ourselves up. James says it ought not be so. Don't be demeaning. Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? See, when I start trying to tear down somebody else to build myself up, obviously, I've forgotten who I am. Who am I? Who art thou, James said? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? To demean someone else, to defame someone else, to slander someone else. Tell you what we're doing when we do, we're acting like the devil, the slanderer. It's all through the Bible. I got to move on. But there's so many examples in the Word of God where people did this very thing. Start at wars. There's one example about David, and I can't remember the exact story, but where David, a man lied about David. David was trying to do a good deed, and they lied on David, and they shaved the men's beards and sent them back. And you know what it ended up doing? It cost a war, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people died, and it was all because of slander. It wasn't even true. It was somebody else trying to destroy somebody else with the words of their mouth. We've seen it in our church. We've seen it in our community. People trying to destroy, trying to slander, trying to tear down this church. Trying to tear down people in this church. God help it not to be us in the church. He says, don't do that. Who do we think we are to demean someone else? Number two, and I'm done. Who do we think we are to decide? That's what James says. Yeah, who do you think you are to speak evil one of another? He goes beyond that. He says, I'll tell you what. Who do you think you are to speak evil of one another and judgeth one another? He says, he that speaketh evil of his brother, look at it, and judgeth his brother, he speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. We'd have made ourselves the judge. You know what a judge does, don't you? He decides. He decides guilty, not guilty. He decides the sentence. First James talked about slander. Now he's talking about the sentencing. He says, who do you think you are to slander somebody? And then he says, let me go a step farther. Who do you think you are to sentence somebody? That's what that word judge means. If you look it up, it means to condemn. And James says, who do you think you are to give somebody sentence? Who do we think we are to judge someone else? And this is not talking about, let's not judge not that ye be not judged. Please understand what I'm saying. This isn't talking about discernment. This is talking about decisions. We got to judge. The Bible's very clear that we're to judge. We're to prove all things. We're to mark them that walk against the gospel. There's many things that we need to judge and we need to discern, but we don't need to get into the business of deciding, of sentencing, of condemning. That's what James says here. Judging. He says, who do you think you are to decide? You went from being a doer of the law. Look at verse 11, he says, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law. That reminds me of James chapter 1, remember? He said, but be ye doers of the law, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. He says, you done deceived yourself again. You went from being a doer of the law, now you're the judge of the law. You're deciding what's right and what's wrong. You've done exalted yourself to where you think you make, you call the shots. Can I tell you how arrogant that is? What arrogance? Who do I think I am? I'm going to quit saying who do you think you are, because I can tell you who needs this more than anybody, me. Who do I think I am to sit in the judgment seat of somebody else? I got enough to deal with judging my own self. Who am I to judge? You know what Paul said? I think it's in Romans 14. Paul said, who art thou? I think I wrote it down actually. Paul said in Romans 14, he said, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul said, who do you think you are? They're going to stand before Christ, but guess what? So are you. So am I. So be careful about condemning. Be careful about deciding what people's motives are and why they do what they do and what kind of sentencing they should get for what they've done. James says, hey, don't do that. Speak not evil one another. Judge not one another. Don't be demeaning. Don't be deciding. He said that's such arrogance, right? Not only that, it's such ignorance. That I should know why someone else does what they've done or what someone else should get for what they've done. What ignorance. Who am I to think that I'm the judge? You know what it reminds me of? Remember Job's friends? I just read it sitting out in the church parking lot. It hit me and I was like, I'm going to look it up. Job chapter number 42, you don't have to turn there, but the end of the book of Job, you know what? God comes to Job and he says, he goes to Job, then he goes to Job's friends and he says, let me tell you something. He said, I'm angry at you. And basically, he said, my wrath is kindled against you. He said, you better go to Job and offer a sacrifice and ask Job to pray for your forgiveness. Literally, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he says. And you know one of the reasons I believe he's saying that? It's because Job's friends, they thought they knew. You remember that story, right? They thought they knew why God was doing Job the way God was doing Job. And they had convinced themselves, Job's just a wicked man. Job, if you just repent and get right with God, you'll be all right. And what they didn't know is that God was allowing this in Job's life. Now, I'm not saying God wasn't doing some correcting in Job's life, but I believe with all that's in me, God was perfecting Job's life. But these men were watching, and they thought they knew better than God. They'd have made themselves the judge, and they're telling Job, this is what's wrong with you. And God, at the end of that book, he said, let me tell you something. I'm going to deal with you because you made yourself the judge. You think you know what I'm doing. You don't know what I'm doing. And can I tell you, I don't know what he's doing either. I don't want to know in some people's lives. As I've already said, I got enough to deal with in my own life. Who am I to sit in the seat of judgment? Who am I to make myself your honor? He says, be careful. That's ignorant. Now, as I've already said, this doesn't mean we shouldn't use discernment. It just means we shouldn't try to decide. We shouldn't try. Look at verse number 12, because I think this is ultimately what it means. Verse 12 says, there's one lawgiver who is able to save and look at it and to destroy. Who are you to think that you get to decide or you get to destroy somebody? God, help us to think that we're in charge. I'm just going to go on record and I'm going to be as honest as I can be with you. I'm glad you're not. I'm glad I'm not too. But I'm glad you're not. I'm glad God's in control. Because if it wasn't for God's grace, we'd all be in trouble. If my judge was one of you, and I think you're great people, but if my judge was one of you, I'd probably be in trouble. Because I know how we are. First time somebody does us wrong, done with them, right? Who do they think they are? He said, who do you think you are? God's the judge. God decides who's saved and who gets destroyed. Not you, not me. God's the one sitting in the courtroom saying guilty, not guilty. God's the one that's giving out the sentence. See, we'd be giving everybody life. Put them away for life, right? I'm glad God's calling the shots and not us. That's what I believe James is trying to say. Who are you? You want to slander, you want to defame, you want to decide. Ultimately, you want to destroy. That's really what it's all about. You want to destroy your brother. Why? Because it makes you feel better? It builds you up to destroy someone else. I really do believe sometimes we're not careful. That's what it boils down to. So what do we do? I'll give you these two and I'll close. Remember this, brother. Remember this. Remember the connection. Look at verse number 11. I think it's interesting he used this word. He just got done calling them adulterers and adulteresses. Remember that in James chapter 4? He goes back to that term he'd been using. Speak not evil one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, right? James says, don't forget who it is that you're trying to destroy. That's your brother. I don't think it's coincidence that James used that word brother, brother, brethren. He said, what are you doing? Why would you try to destroy? Why would you try to defame? Why would you try to demean your brother? I think he's talking about your spiritual. Hopefully we wouldn't do it to our earthly brother, brethren, but he says your spiritual brethren. You're connected. You have the same father. You're in the same family. Don't try to destroy another family member. He says, remember your connection. And then he says, remember the commandment. Look at it. He said, he that speaketh evil of his brother, verse 11, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You know, a lot of people, there's a lot of debate about what law James is speaking of. I think, look at James chapter 2, verse 8. I think that tells us what law James is speaking of. James chapter 2, verse 8. He said, if you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. I think that's the law James is talking about. I think James is saying the same thing Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, therefore, right? And I think it's in chapter 7, verse 12. He said, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do also unto them. He said, for this is the royal law. This is the law and the commandments. I might have misquoted that, but you check it. That's what Jesus said. Love God. Love your brother. James said, don't forget the commandment to love your brother, to love your neighbor as thyself, right? Isn't that the royal law in chapter 2, verse 8? Chapter 2, verse 8. Let me see, I turned my page. Fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Would you slander yourself? Would you demean yourself? Would you destroy yourself? James says, well, if you wouldn't do it to yourself, don't do it to your brother. Don't demean and defame and destroy your brother. Do unto them as you would have them do unto you. That's my message for tonight. Thank you for your attention. You can stand to your feet. I hope this was a help to somebody. I honestly, I'm going to have this pianist come. I think there's some churches that really struggle with this right here. And I don't believe this is one of them. I think there's great unity in this church. I think we have a great church, as we've already heard in our testimony time. I was sitting there thinking, man, how am I going to preach this after everybody's still? I love this church. Brian's up here. It's the greatest church. I love these people. Somebody else, I love these people, right? I love these people. Now I'm calling all y'all a bunch of slanderers and, you know, I don't mean that. That's not our church. But I'll tell you this, if we're not careful, that's our enemy. And that's what he'll try to do to us. That's what he wants to do to me. He wants me to act like him. He wants me to begin to try to demean and to begin to try to defame my brother. You know, when I was reading this, I read this. I got to share it with you. It just hit my mind. You know, in this country, there was a day. I'm serious. You can look it up. I'm almost sure it was on the law books. I read it from pretty reliable source. In the early days of this country in New York City, if you were caught, going defamation, you know what I mean? If you were to defame someone, they took a hot thing and stuck it through your tongue. It used to be against the law in this country. I think it still is. The law's just lost its teeth. It's not okay. Our country even, the world even understands, it's not okay to slander someone, to tear their name down. But early in this country, if you did that, man, they dealt with you. They didn't play about that. And I don't think God plays about it. You read through the Old Testament, one man said, and I'm not ready to quote this because I don't know, but one man said there's more statements in the Levitical law about slandering, whispering, backbiting, tailbearing, tearing down someone else with your tongue than there is about anything else. Because it's something we're all guilty of. It's something we're all capable of. And so we got to be careful of it. We just got to guard against it. God help us not to be like the devil, the slanderer. You can play. The pianist is going to play. Heads bowed, eyes closed.